Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about channeling, we're going to talk about Atlantis, we're going to talk about Gaia, we're going to talk about the Beatles, we're going to talk about some historical figures like William Shakespeare, we're going to talk about Vivaldi, Peter the Great, Hiawatha, we're going to talk about cannabis, we're going to talk about ayahuasca, and other kind of planetary influences on our Gaia or planet Earth. So we've got a packed show. Our special guest is a writer who channels through an entity called Thor. Her name is Diana Mary Rose, and she's written a book called, many books, but this one's called Atlantis and Gaia. And it's got a lot of really interesting information about all this information that comes through to her by channeling. So the book was kind of pre-written. She didn't have to do any editing or anything. As she will tell us, kind of takes dictation, similar to other channels that we've had on the show. And a lot of the focus of her work in this particular book is on some historical figures that had some significance, and in this case, in pop culture, really gets into the significance of the Beatles, the collectively, the four of them, each one individually, what each one kind of represents and meant, and what their journeys were, and if they kind of pursued the right path for themselves and successfully achieved that which they aimed to achieve when they came here to the planet. And it's fascinating stuff. And I wasn't sure, I'll be honest with you, I get a lot of invitations from potential guests to ask me to invite them on the show. And I do it myself. I go through the guests and I'm like, maybe, okay, no. And I base it on what would I think would be interesting to our listeners, you, the audience, my viewers and listeners, and is there new information there worth considering? And also for myself, because I'm part of the audience also. I'm the representative of the audience in that I'm asking the questions that I think I would want to have asked if I was in the audience. So I make my determination based on, is this going to be interesting? Is there going to be some information here that we can all consider? Can this help us live better lives? So I was kind of on the fence with Diana Mary Rose, not because there's anything wrong with her or the work she does, but I just wasn't sure if I was processing enough. However, we had our conversation, and I was delighted because she's very interesting, lives in the UK, and we had a great conversation. I think you'll really enjoy it. And we're going to talk about the Beatles and a lot of other stuff and a lot of other historical characters, and I think it's a lot of fun. And then it's up to you to decide, like it was up to me to decide, am I buying this completely? Is this just an experience that she was having? I know it's true for her. I know that She is tapped into a collective. I know that she allowed me to communicate with this collective, Thor, and during the show and also afterwards, and the information I got was spot on and very helpful. So give it a listen. Let's see how we do. And Guys Radio, I think you're going to enjoy this one.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Radio is the interview portion of our show. We've got a very special guest today. We're going to talk about channeling. We're going to talk about Reiki. We're going to talk about homeopaths. We're going to talk about psychics, clairaudience, telepathic abilities, celebrity reincarnations, all kinds of stuff here. It's a real mixed bag on Guys Radio. And my special guest's name is Diana Mary Rhodes. She's coming to us from the UK. She's a psychic medium, a Reiki and Sekhem master of the healing arts, classically trained homeopath. Her clairaudient and telepathic abilities are profound, and she uses those skills while writing. Telepathy means that she can chat away with Source in an uninhibited manner. And that comes through in her writings. Her lively style reflects the world upstairs, which is free of earthly concern. Her spirit guides support her. Alter egos, past family members, other souls play a part in her book work. The name of the book we're going to talk about today, it's called Atlantis and Gaia, Magic, Reincarnation, COVID and Earth Healing Today. Diana Mary Rhodes, my special guest on Guys Radio. Welcome to the show, Diana Mary Rhodes.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. And as I mentioned, there's so many things to your work, so much to your work and so many different topics we can cover. I didn't want to just nail it down to one thing. So let's have a good conversation and really get into some things that I think our audience might be interested in. But first, let's start with you, because you have all these different abilities. I've interviewed various channelers and psychics on the show many times, and your skill set seems a little bit different. How exactly would you describe yourself and the gifts you have, and when did they come about for you, Diana?
Right, okay. Well, I would call myself a serious meditator. I've been meditating now for about 15 years every single day. Sometimes up to an hour or even 2 hours. And what I have discovered through that process is the more you meditate, the more psychic you become. So over time, I have become more and more psychic with more and more gifts. First of all, seeing pictures, then hearing the odd word, hearing a sentence or two. And then gradually over time, the clairaudience has come through very, very clearly indeed. And about 2 years ago now, 2 or 3 years ago, I suddenly realized I was having conversations upstairs rather than merely hearing a sentence or two or understanding perhaps a past life. And I've also been cataloguing my past lives for, again, 10 or 15 years, because once I started meditating, I started to see them and I started to understand them. But I would say, on the whole, going right back to childhood, there was always a profound psychic ability there. But through meditating, since I was, what, about 50, I'm 65 now, that really has shot me into a different level of mediumship than was before. So that's my path, really. My pathway
has
come about through meditating.
When you first discovered these abilities, Diana, did you know what they were? Did you welcome them? Did you suppress them and then they came back later and then you dialed them up when you began meditative practice in on a daily basis?
No, I found it very exciting. I've always, all the way through my life, found psychic things fascinating. So that there's never, ever been a fear at all. I mean, I discovered Reiki probably 25 years ago. And that, again, you know, I was starting to see things and hear things and also talking to people and what they see and hear and so on. So once I started meditating a few years after that, it was just a deeper level of what I already understood. I found it very exciting and wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I am a Reiki master teacher, and it took me about 10 years to go through the process. I wanted to spread it out, and I am a hypnotist also. And I found that when I got to the Reiki master teacher level, my visual perspective on everything I saw changed. In other words, if I stood on the beach and looked out at the ocean, it's like I could put my hand out and dip my finger into the ocean 2 miles away. That was the biggest change, I thought. My perspective changed ever since then. And I meditate every day. I've been doing so for about 5 years. Has my psychic abilities dialed up? I believe so. I think by just getting into that groove every day as a practice, that the blockages, if you will, seem to kind of fade away. Does that make sense to you,
yeah,
Diana?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, it is about releasing negativity, releasing blockages from the human auric field. And certainly in the early days when I was meditating, sometimes my whole arm would jump or my leg would jump. And that would be, I would understand that to be a major blockage, which is just gone, you know. And on occasion, the whole body would jump, you know, from nowhere. So it is the most extraordinary experience. Yeah.
Now, when you started kind of getting a look into some of your past lives, et cetera, were you tapping into the Akashic, your own earthly Akashic records or galactic Akashic records or not Akashic records at all, just getting a look at different incarnations you may have had?
I think when I've seen them, it's because I've more often than not, I've been healing an aspect of myself using Reiki or Seikem. And then these pictures would come up. So they're a sort of natural part of, I think, releasing trauma from the human aura. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I tend to see it, is aspects of the human aura being cleansed. And I mean, it is quite fascinating because, I mean, I've always had, right from the, well, pretty well from the age of 3 or something, you know, huge fear about the First World War, which I didn't really understand. I just thought I was being a bit silly, you know, as you do. But now I realize, because I've seen it, that I had a life in the First World War and I was, you know, traumatically injured and died as a result of those wounds. So I've also experienced my death. That was probably one of the most profound experiences I've ever had. I experienced my own death as a First World War soldier, going to the light. I remember seeing these sort of meditational process or whatever, seeing these arms reaching down towards me to pull me up, and the most extraordinary feeling of love. That's the only thing you can say. You know, as I reached that higher level. So, yeah, so this, but as a 3-year-old, I just thought, well, I'm being silly, and everyone else probably thought so too. But no, it's a link between a prior life and today, you know.
Okay. Seikem, what is Seikem? for those who aren't unfamiliar.
It's ancient Egyptian healing. So, you know, as Reiki is Tibetan, I think, comes via Japan. This is ancient Egyptian healing. And when I was attuned to it, and it's a very similar process to Reiki, you're attuned to that energy. I remember seeing this strange character just on the top of my nose, you know, sort of around here. And I thought, who is that, you know? And I thought, well, the closest thing I can imagine is it's the Hierophant from the tarot. But it wasn't. But it wasn't. Anyway, so I Googled it, like you do. And then what it said was the Hierophant is based on Osiris. Now, I then Googled Osiris. I thought, that's what I saw. That's what I saw. You know, but it's wonderful. When you do it that way around, you see a vision. And then you find it on the internet. Think, yes, I saw Osiris. And that was almost directly after that moment when I was attuned to Egyptian, this Egyptian healing energy.
In your book, Atlantis and Gaia, you talk about a lot of celebrity reincarnations, the kind of significance of various celebrities. We'll get into that. But for yourself, who were you from your own studies and self-study when you seem to have a number of very interesting lives? Could you share with us some of those incarnations?
Yes. Now, I know for a fact that I've been Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament. I know a bit about him. Also, Harry Hotspur. And also Julian of Norwich. So there's a sort of a slightly weird combination of famous people coming through there. But also, I mean, it's not always famous lives that come through.
Sure.
The important ones are the ones that do the most damage. And, for example, my First World War life, I now realize his name is Henry. It took a long time to get that name to come through. And another one called Caroline in the 18th century. She was connected to Versailles. So there are those that come through. But the famous ones, I think those are three of the big
okay.
names.
Now you say you know for a fact, and I'm not challenging.
Well,
I'm just
it's
asking
not a fact.
Question. How do you know that you were Nebuchadnezzar?
Because I heard it. Because clairaudience, you hear words.
Are these guides that are, is it a collective, or are these guides who are communicating with you and are, is it the same one or different ones pop in and out? How does it work for you, Diane?
Yeah, most of the time it's the same spirit guide, and his name is Thor. He gives his name as Thor.
Okay.
And I hear his voice quite clearly. It's a deep, urbane voice. It's lovely. And so when I'm writing my books at the computer here, I will basically be hearing the next sentence starting just as I'm finishing the last sentence. So it is really, I would say, taking dictation. And amongst that dictation comes through who I was in a past life, explaining it. And you, what more can you do than that? Other than, of course, you can look at your fears and phobias in this lifetime, and also your favorite destinations, as in Versailles, and your horrible places you would never go, and intuit to a certain extent where you've lived in a past life. But yes, I hear the words.
Okay. Let's talk about your book. Once again, my special guest, Diana Mary Rose, on Guys Radio. The book we're focusing on today is Atlantis and Gaia, Magic Reincarnation, COVID and Earth Healing Today. You mentioned the Beatles, who everybody loves, and the significance of them, and that the four of them kind of chose to incarnate as a group, a quartet, if you will, and they all had different kind of messages to share. Could you, for our listeners and viewers, talk to us a little bit about the significance of the Beatles and a little bit about each one of them, John, Paul, George, and Ringo?
Hmm. Yeah, as I hear it, they incarnated as a group to bring love to the earth after the Second World War. If you think about Beatlemania and the unbelievable hysterical love that created, you can see how that could be. So, for example, the World War was followed by the Cold War, and by the early 60s, it was getting into a very dangerous situation. And as I understand it, they were brought through to bring love to the situation, to calm the waters, shall we say. Now, within that group, you have different personalities. So that is one thing I mentioned in my book, is the mission. We're all born with a mission in life. And that was the group's mission, was to bring love through at that time through their music. But each individual Beatle will also have his own personal mission, which sure. goes alongside that. And what I'm saying is that John Lennon was a peacemaker in several past lives. And he brought that that mission through in this lifetime as well, to bring peace to the world. And of course, he is well known in the late 60s, you know, challenging the United States on Vietnam and all these kind of things. And also, what I'm saying is that he was pushed slightly off that mission, not completely off it, but he was pushed sort of in a slightly different direction by Yoko Ono, so that he didn't achieve the ultimate accolade that he should have done, which would have been the Peace Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize. So as I understand it, he was meant to get that Peace Prize, but because of whatever happened, a slightly stronger personality perhaps pushing him in another direction, he didn't manage that. Now, that's John. And
let me ask you one question here, Diana. I just thought of this, is that was his assassination, if you will, predetermined, or was that something that was based on free will and choices made during his lifetime?
I don't actually know about the assassination. What I do understand is that he wasn't meant to die at that moment. Had he progressed along his mission correctly, then he wouldn't have died at that point, no. But, you know, these things happen. He was Hiawatha in a past life, who was a great peace man in North America. So now,
did Thor explain? How did you make that connection?
Well, he told me.
John Lennon?
I mean, I'm just the vessel. I write down.
No, I know, but who told you that?
That would be Thor, yes.
Okay.
My spirit guide, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's, say, in the book, there's a sort of quite a bit of information about John and how he came to be who he is and so on and so forth. And then the other major Beatle that I mentioned is George Harrison. And he has two separate areas to him in terms of his past lives. He has his monk lives. So what I'm saying, he's been a monk many, many times over, including Rasputin, in fact. And I do draw attention to the 70s, when his long tousled hair, you know, how that could be a little bit of a Rasputin image there. But he has his monk lives because he is a deeply spiritual, involved man. But he also has his musical lives too. And what I'm also saying is that he was Antonio Vivaldi in a past life. And that influences his music. So he comes through with a strong musical gene, in a sense, as it were, through his past lives. But he also comes with a strong religious element to him as well. And you can see both of those aspects, of course, in his life, how that would be.
So, interesting that he didn't have the most songs. I think he kind of got repressed a little bit as a Beatle because he was the youngest. But he might have had the best songs that the Beatles ever did in terms of musical quality. Not that the others weren't great, but he had some really special songs. Here Comes the Sun, Something, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. He had some very prolific songs.
And they've lasted the test of time, haven't
they?
Yeah. No, he's okay. He's a very interesting man. Yes. Yeah,
so how about Paul then?
Paul doesn't really come into it. Paul doesn't really come into my book at all. Ringo comes in very briefly. It's an interesting process writing a book when you're taking dictation from spirit, because you know you can you just go with what you're told, really. Mm-hmm. You can ask occasionally, but balls.
So does Thor show up for you when Thor wants to, or when you sit down to write, or random times, or like right now, is Thor with you? Is there any spirits out there want to be brought forth and talk to our audience or give us some type of messaging?
Yeah. He will respond to a question. I think he has to have a question. Otherwise he's silent.
Should I ask a personal question or a more general question for mankind? Does it matter?
Go ahead. Let's see.
Okay. What do I need to know right now, Robert Manny?
Right. What do you need to know as a person? What they're saying is you're listening into soul right now, but you're not studying the ethics behind your situation. Ethics matter. So what they're saying is you can live a wholesome life, but were you to read the dictates of your soul more strongly, you would get a stronger connection. And that is where you are desperately trying to achieve a greater connection with soul, but you cannot do it. So we say, when I say we, I'm hearing what they say. We say you need to be more ambivalent about what you do and not be so dictatorial with your own business. So relax, enjoy the sunshine, and feel into your soul in a greater and denser manner, and then you will get the messages coming through far clearer. That's what they said.
Okay.
Quite a deep message.
Yeah. How can I, since they have acknowledged it, and I am trying to do exactly what they've said, how can I do a better job of that? So, you know, when you're being dictatorial, trying to control things, make things happen, but what you need to do sometimes to make things happen is to step back and it's about allowing.
Yes, that's right. Okay. They say you need to relax. Okay. They're saying you need to relax into a cup of tea. That's an interesting one. Because tea is a very healing entity. Tea heals the heart. And if you have a cup of tea, if you grab a cup of tea, they're saying, between scenes, between your workload, you will find that that impacts on your strong character, and that will help you to push through despite enabling you to access spirit at the same time. So tea is a good one to go for, they're saying. Other than that, you need to heal your own heart at soul. For at soul, the heart is slightly disconnected from here. It's not a bad un, they're saying. It could be worse, but there is a disconnect. And if you were to heal that connection, then you would find it much easier and greater to be the loving entity that you are. So you show some people a lot of love, but you can be quite belligerent, they're saying, at other times. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing to be at all. In fact, it's a good thing in your situation, but you do need to control that temper of yours.
Yes.
And that can be done so through further meditation and also through tea drinking, they're saying. So they're suggesting a good old cuppa there.
That is fantastic. I love it. Okay, Diana, Mary, Rose, and Thor with us today. Thank you so much, and thank you, Thor. Are there any? Let me ask you about this. The Rolling Stones. You mentioned the Beatles and their importance to our culture, and then you have, and they were around for about 6 or 7 years. At the same time, right on the tale of the Beatles coming out were the Rolling Stones. And now here they are. Their music is more grounded than the Beatles, if you will. The Beatles more ethereal. The stones stayed together through a lot of calamity. They've had deaths. They've had group change, you know, membership changes to a certain extent, but you've still had Jagger and Keith Richards and Charlie Watts until recently, and Ron Wood for the last 40 years, I think. And they seem to reflect the 3D lives that many of us go through and experience on a daily basis on Earth. To me, they're much more grounded than the Beatles. I'm not saying they're better or worse, whatever, but they've lasted now 60 plus years and they're about to release, I think, new music. So what is the significance, if there is one, of the Rolling Stones, and how does that differ from the Beatles?
Okay, well, what they're telling me is the Rolling Stones were meant to be a grouping forever. They are a group that is regrouped through time. Mm-hmm. And in this life, they were meant to stay for good. And that means until death do us part. That was not the case with the Beatles. The Beatles came through on a 60s vibration to heal the world at that moment in time. And then they separated. And that was for their own purposes. Well, they wished to continue with their own missions in the 70s and move forwards. The Rolling Stones did not do that. They wanted to be a group forever. Had they parted, they would still have turned up on occasion to meet again and again. They will never part forever. So it's all about what you decide, I think, in advance of this incarnation. Mm-hmm. And if that's the purpose, you do it. You
know? Is there any incarnation surprises, if you will, where you had, you know, George Harrison was Rasputin and Vivaldi? How about like somebody else who was a virtuoso musically, like Keith Richards? And he's had his, obviously, some issues with substances and things like that. But there's just, you know, he's got an antenna for music, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one that I didn't mention, she went in the book and then she came out again, is Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
Was Jane Austen. So that was an interesting one. That came through. And also Brian Jones, who died young, of course, was Keats, a poet. So he came through on a poetry vibration. And that was one of the reasons why he simply couldn't hack it as a Rolling Stone. He was too sensitive. So I know a bit about him. And actually, the interesting thing about Brian Jones is if you look at a painting of Keats and then you look at Brian Jones, you can see a bit of a likeness. You know, and this is something, I'm sort of getting into now, is when I hear something about somebody in a past life, I Google them and see whether there's a physical connection. And quite often there can be. It depends on the personality. When you've got a similar face coming through, and you can have very similar faces, it's because the personality is similar too. So they're reincarnate in a similar character. But so that was an interesting one. And also dear old George Harrison, I put in the book, was Peter the Great. I mean, George has a ridiculous number of famous past lives. Now, if you Google George on the Sgt. Pepper album and you Google Peter the Great, you'll see a very similar face, that wonderful moustache, you know. And, of course, dear George, I mean, he's wearing those 18th century silks and things, which, again, helps. But yeah, you can see a similarity coming through.
Now, in the book, I believe that you reached out, I guess, through Thor to George to ask some questions and he came through.
Yes.
Is that true? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And that came through as a from George. And this is where you get in the book, you get perhaps slightly different writing styles coming through sometimes. I know that's confused people a bit. She's all over the place with her writing style, you know, and that's because I'm downloading, in a sense,
right,
a different personality.
So if I mentioned a name, if they're available, can they come through Thor right now? Possibly.
Probably not.
Okay.
because I don't normally do that. That's when I'm in a pretty deep state of trance.
I understand.
Okay. But I have heard, I do hear accents very, very clearly sometimes. I have heard a few years ago, Princess Diana was writing an article about Princess Diana, and I heard her voice. I mean, it was perfect. You know, it wasn't even close. It was her voice coming through. So clairaudience, yeah, it's quite an extraordinary.
How does that work for you, Diana? Have you, how has that affected your life? And you considered it a gift, or it's like, oh no, here they come again. How do you see this experience?
This is called telepathic audio. Now, when that came, that did come through suddenly with abundance about 3 years ago. It did freak me out a little bit for a few weeks, if not a month, and now I think it's wonderful. I just love it. I mean, I'm just living in an ethereal wonderful world of information, because I can just send off a question and boom, back comes an answer, you know. It doesn't bother me now, but it did for a short time, yeah.
But, how about a historical figure that comes through very much so in the book is William Shakespeare. And so many people have different opinions as to, was Shakespeare one person? Was it a group of writers? Who was William Shakespeare, according to your guides?
Yeah, well, as I understand it, he was a local lad with superior psychic abilities. So what I'm saying is that he was similar to me in the sense that he had not only clairaudience, but he had telepathic abilities. So he was hearing his plays and writing them down from the soul. And to me, that would make very good sense, because I couldn't write these books without help from up there, you know, so why should he? I mean, you think what a genius he is. How can one man do all that? Well, he can if he is totally psychic. And also, he is bringing a skill through that he's already had before, because what I'm saying in the book, as I heard, is that he was Virgil before. So he's the guy who wrote the Aeneid and so on in a past life. So in other words, when you've got a skill and you reincarnate, you build up on that skill that you've already got, which means that you are moving fast, you know.
Okay. All right. Diana Mary Rose, my special guest on Guys Radio. And the name of the book is Atlantis and Gaia. So why don't we talk a little bit about Atlantis and Gaia? What are the significances of Atlantis? People understand that to be a civilization that was highly evolved, that when things changed on the planet Earth and the ley lines and things like that, that now it's kind of underneath someplace in South America. And Gaia is Earth itself, which most people don't realize is a living, breathing entity that we're all part of. I actually do a part of my daily meditation. I say to Gaia, I do Ho'oponopono with it. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for all the lousy things I've done to the planet along the ways, whether it be litter or not be nice to an animal or eating meat or whatever it is. We've all done things that are not as respectful to our mother Gaia than we should be, way more respectful than we are. So tell us about the significance of Atlantis. What was it? What is it? Why it matters? And also about what we need to know about Gaia and how we can take better care of it.
Yeah. Well, again, what I'm saying in the book is that the Atlantean civilization has invaded at least three times. There isn't just one civilization, there are many, which is why you get multiple stories about Atlantis, and they don't always kind of agree with each other. And the Atlanteans arrived after the dinosaurs became extinct. There was some sort of cataclysmic disaster at that time, and life drew to a close. And then the Atlanteans came in. They were aliens. They came in spaceships and landed in order to put they were scientists in order to bring life back to the planet. So they came quite specifically to get the air functioning properly, to put in ley lines to allow the soil to be fertile and to get the Amazonian rainforest up and running, and, you know, just to get plant life back on. They also brought us healing herbs. So they put into the ground everything we should need in order to survive today. So that's the connection with Gaia and the healing herbs that I put into.
Well, let me ask you about that, Diana, because you mentioned two in the book, which are pretty popular, cannabis, which so many people have tried, and then ayahuasca, which has become more and more popular nowadays, although I'm not sure if that's being distributed or taken in a very mindful manner at all times, because it's a whole ceremony that goes around. You know, you can't just goof around with ayahuasca. Cannabis is something that's become pretty mass, if you will, and now it's legal. You can get all these CBD products. Also, tell us about those two and their implications on how they impact humans.
Yeah, well, the message that came through was quite clear, which was that cannabis is not for us to use. So we use and abuse that herb, and we shouldn't be. It's actually placed there for, and this sounds wacky. Well, it's all wacky, isn't it? Let's face it. For the for the angels. It's some sort of angelic herb. I mean, you've got to read books. It's like, but it was never meant for mankind. And it does damage, you know, it does do some damage. And I think we all know it, you know, in extreme cases, it can bring on paranoia and stuff. So that was that.
Ayahuasca.
Good question. Well, I don't know. I've forgotten what I put in the book now, but what they're saying now is ayahuasca is not unusual to take for Native American Indians, but it's not suited to the Western world in general. So it can work well if you have a Native American heritage, but it won't do you any good if you are from another part of society. That was channeled information just now. Yeah.
It seems like we're in a time where there's a lot of things, obviously things have sped up. So much has happened in the past 100 years, and it gets faster and faster and faster. And everything I seem to read and talk to people about and do my research on says that we're going through a very rapid change right now, and things could get rocky, but they're going to eventually get better. What are you what's being communicated to you through SPORE in terms of what's happening on the planet now? What do people need to know, and how should they prepare for the changes? And are the changes ultimately going to be good for us?
Yeah, that's right. We're right on the edge of the new era. That comes through again and again and again, and which is the new Atlantean revival. Now, what I have heard is that we are all fundamentally Atlantean. We've had lives in Atlantis, so we're the new Atlanteans kind of already on the block, as it were. And the world is getting choppy as a result of all the new era winds and traumas coming through. The one message that comes through again and again and again is to ask people to meditate. And that is the big one, telling everyone to get yourself down to a Buddhist center or wherever you have it over there. Over here, you know, it's usually a Buddhist center that does a weekend meditational course. Get yourself over there, learn to meditate correctly, and do it. And that seems to be the most important thing of all, because that then creates the inner sort of nurturing to allow us to be more spiritual.
Okay. You know. How about, there's also a lot of talk about, and it's a drip, drip, drip about disclosure of ETs. And many say that, listen, the government's not going to come out and say things. They'll just declassify. And the disclosure is actually happening right now. Any thoughts on that from Thor or your guides?
Well, what they're saying is ETs happen every day. They're not around. Okay. They're not around you yet, Robert, they're saying. but they could be. That's interesting. Aliens are here to assist in the new world order, they're saying, and they come through on a loop. They come in, zoom around, and go out again. Some people see them and a lot miss them. But the crop circles are, do you get crop circles in America? We get them over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Out in the Midwest and some where the farmlands are, and nobody knows what they are. Okay. Apparently, are they some messaging center for extraterrestrials?
The crop circles are not alien as such. They're caused by past life entities or ghosts, as we call them, doing their business in the field. That's what they call it. So they're saying the past life entities or ghosts or souls of those who have been traumatized come down and break through the ley lines at that point, and then everything collapses. Well, there we are. That's what I heard.
Okay. And you also, last question, you mentioned ley lines quite often in the book, just for the benefit of our audience. What are ley lines and what is their significance?
Ley lines are the energy beneath Gaia's earth soil, and they are sonar. They emit a sonic waveform, which then allows the soil to nurture itself correctly and become loving and kind, they're saying. So in a word, the ley lines, if they're working correctly, and they were placed there by the Atlanteans, eons before we ever existed, if they're working correctly, they will allow the forests to grow and the oxygen supplies to renew and so on. And the message is that that is happening today. They are being renewed by the angelic form that come down quite frequently, and also through meditational work too. So the more mankind meditates, the more the ley lines will improve. But they are energy. They're part of Gaia's earth healing strategy to allow the shrubs and the bushes to glow with pride, they're calling it, glow with self-worth, and then their organic ability to heal becomes much stronger. So that it's a fundamental part of life. And what destroys ley lines is materialism. A lot got destroyed by the Romans when they were rampaging around Europe and so on. So they can get destroyed, but they can also be renewed. But they are very, very important. Yeah.
Fantastic. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, Diana Mary Rose. The name of the book is Atlantis and Gaia, Magic, Reincarnation, COVID, and Earth Healing Today. Where can our audience find out more about you, Diana, and get your book?
Well, the book is available in Walmart, Barnes & Noble, is it, as well, and also, of course, on Amazon. And through the publisher and so on. It's all over the place. Yes, Google it. I do have a website called Rutland Healing as well, where people can contact me. And so on. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on Guys Guys Radio. Really interesting information. The book is quite the experience to go through, because it really covers so much ground, and it's not straightforward step. It goes all over the place in a fun way. And I had a lot of fun reading it. And thank you, and pleasure to meet you. Thank you, Diana Mary Rose.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel.
That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
See, just really, really terrific songwriter. And then his solo work, All Things Must Pass and Beware of Darkness and all of those songs. And from that All Things Must Pass album, just really terrific. I can't believe that more of those songs weren't included in the Beatles catalog. But if you do a lot of studying on the Beatles and you watch that documentary series about the making of Let It Be, you'll see why they kind of had to go their own way, where you had four very distinct individuals. And then we had John Lennon, and according to Diana, the Yoko relationship kind of veered him off track to his mission and his potential of winning the Nobel Peace Prize, and that he had been Hiawatha in a past life. And then we have the pragmatist and the materialist Paul McCartney, who's still out there pumping out new music and going on tour and just probably the greatest pop songwriter of all time, in our lifetime at least. You can go back and say, you know, Gershwin or whoever, but Paul McCartney really has written some incredible, long-lasting songs that are now, you know, standards. And then you've got Ringo, who was kind of, you know, the backbeat, put it all together as the drummer. And he was sickly as a child and had wanted to be a doctor, but because he was sick, he started, I think, playing the drums, and he got to that special place with falling in line with the Beatles when Peter Best left. And his sound is unique, and his sound is perfect for the Beatles. And that's very, you know, it's incredible that the four of them had such a mesh in their talents. And I asked about the Rolling Stones because I'm a huge Stones fan, and she said their kind of a pre-life plan was a little bit different. She called it kind of death do us part, a long term. And here they are, still putting out new music here in 2023. They have an album ready to be dropped, and also they're probably going to do another tour. And Mick Jagger is turning 80, as Keith Richards will at the end of the year. And I always found the Stones being kind of more grounded than the Beatles, very different, but it's amazing that those two bands have had their own journeys, their own paths, and have lasted so long. What else did we learn today? We learned a lot about, you know, the significance of Atlantis, and also about how some things that we enjoy, like cannabis and ayahuasca, at least for some people, can kind of take us off our path and may not be the best things for people. And she had a very interesting comment about how the angels enjoy cannabis, which I found kind of stunning, but equally interesting. And also her take through Thor on William Shakespeare, because there's so many different theories. Was Shakespeare a bunch of different writers? Was it one person? Who was he? And I know there's a series on Gaia about Shakespeare and kind of decoding him. And one of the most fascinating characters in literature and playwriting of all time, if not the most fascinating and interesting character and most talented. So we had a lot of interesting stuff we talked about today. And I think really for me, the big learning was when we got Thor on the show, the collective that Diana speaks with, communicates with. And he gave me some information about what I should know now, which I found was spot on. And also I continued the conversation and the communications with him after the show, and really got a lot of helpful insights and information. So thank you, Thor. Thank you, Diana, Mary Rose. And thank you, audience, for going with me on this journey for a very different show here on Guys Guys Radio. So Guys Guys Radio, we're here every week for you. I love doing the show. I've got a ton of great guests coming up over the remainder of the summer and also into the fall. We're covering lots of different areas, and it's just so much fun doing the show and talking and learning about all these experts in so many different areas. Again, I've interviewed over 750 thought leaders, and it's been my pleasure to bring you their information. So you can consider what they have to say, and that maybe some of that information can help you live your best life.
So Guys Guys Radio, I'm going to see you again next week. And until then, like I always like to say, guys, finish first.